Our first presenter is Dr. Douglas Bruce. Dr. Bruce is an assistant professor in the Department of Health Sciences and Master of Public Health Program at DePaul University. He uses mixed methods in his behavioral research of gay men's health and evaluation of HIV education, prevention, and treatment programs, and has extensive experience in stakeholder-based models of evaluation and quality assurance. Dr. Bruce?
Thank you. I'm Doug Bruce, and I have no relationships to disclose. Into the microphone? Yeah? Okay. So I want to acknowledge my co-authors, as well as the director of our MPH program, Grace Boudris, and the key stakeholders who were really valuable in the development of this whole process. So just to give you some background on who we are, DePaul University, we're just an MPH program. There's no School of Public Health. Community health practice is the sole focus of our program. Our students, we tend to admit about 20 to 25 per year. They matriculate in about 2 years in a cohort. Some students take a three-year or four-year option, but the majority finish in 2 years. There's 56 academic credit hours required, a 250-hour practica, and community health field placements. We first admitted students in autumn 2008, and we're currently in the accreditation process with CEF and have a site visit scheduled in January 2013. So this self-study process is what really stimulated our development of these competencies, and CEF has recently emphasized competencies more and more and acknowledged a shift in education from kind of student-focused learning and workplace-focused learning and the needs of the workplace as opposed to teacher-focused learning outcomes. We wanted to explicitly link our competencies to the workplace needs in Chicago, as determined by the employers of our graduates and the community partners we have in our practica. And CEF has also acknowledged that assessment, this emphasis on workplace-based competency is often creates more complex learning outcomes that are focused on student portfolios, experiential learning, practica, and capstones. So the structure we selected for measuring competencies was a three-tier structure. So at the top, we had just general expectations of what the field expected of master's level public health professionals. Under each competency, we developed indicators that were determined to be necessary and sufficient for meeting each competency, and and tied to each indicator were sources of evidence of student learning. So an example is, competency that was expected was the ability to assess community needs and assets. One of the indicators underneath that competency was the ability to identify and evaluate existing data sources for community health assessments. The example or the source of evidence of that would be in the student's capstone. They're required to do a community health assessment as part of their capstone. So this is sort of the overview of our process. In summer 2010, we reviewed examples of competencies and indicators that were already out in the field. We mapped these indicators from these pre-existing sources onto our predetermined program competencies. In the fall of 2010, we convened consensus meetings of key stakeholders, practitioners in the field, our affiliated faculty, and our alumni. After the consensus meetings, these stakeholders adapted and altered the indicators that we had brought to the meetings in sometimes significant ways. And so we aligned these new revised set of indicators with the course objectives in our curricula in order to identify gaps and see what additional learning outcomes needed to be developed. We then conducted a self-assessment of incoming students on their perceived competency coming into the program, and that was all based on the indicators that we had developed, and we plan on doing a post-test upon graduation for each class. And we're starting to develop an archive of examples of student learning through student portfolios. And we'll touch on each part of this process later in the presentation. So there were two chief sources, not surprisingly, of these program indicators that we wanted to apply to our program. One was ASPH's core competency development project, and the other was the Council on Linkages. We also reviewed Calhoun and colleagues' article from AGPH on the development of core competencies for the MPH degree. So these were our program competencies. Most of them came out of the original program proposal. We also added a few more, but it's really focused on, again, this is community health practice. This is the sole focus of our program. And I will not read these all to you, but they probably look fairly familiar. This is an example of how we sort of mapped some of the indicators from ASPH and Council Linkages onto our competencies. I didn't want to put too much text in these slides, so not every indicator appears here, but these are examples of five that correspond to the competency on needs assessment. Our consensus meeting. So we convened a meeting of our practitioners and our collaborators in the field. A lot of these folks act as preceptors for the practica that our students go through. And then after that, we convened a faculty meeting of our affiliated faculty. And there was some alumni there as well. And so the criteria we asked these participants in the meetings to evaluate the proposed competencies and indicators by were necessity and sufficiency. Okay, so could the set of competencies, were they all necessary to describe competency for a MPH level professional in the field? And were they sufficient? Did something need to be added? We applied this criteria of necessity and sufficiency to the set of indicators under each competency as well. So what came out of these meetings was about 80% of our existing course objectives did map onto the finalized indicators that came out of the meetings. We had to go back and develop more. There were learning objectives for multiple courses that were cross-referenced by single indicators. Okay, so we had multiple opportunities for learning that addressed these competency indicators in different courses. Where the gaps existed, like I said, new course objectives needed to be developed. And our program executive committee, which are the authors of this presentation, were the ones who determined which courses would be responsible for developing the new objectives. This is a snapshot of the matrix that we use to evaluate this alignment of the competencies and the indicators. First column is the indicators that correspond to this needs assessment competency. Course objectives appear in the middle. Demonstrations of learning or sources of evidence are in the far column. This is a snapshot of our student self-assessment. So, again, entry in the program, we asked students to report their perceived competency on a 4-point scale of the indicators. That's all I think I need to say about that. Okay, so results. Again, I'm just providing snapshots here because there's a lot of material to cover. These are mean scores from our matched set of students at entry into the program and the completion of year one curricula. There were 17. We saw increases in mean scores of the competency, so we summed the scores on the indicators to create a mean score for a competency, which is what's in bold. And then we summed across the cohort the mean score for each indicator, which is, in this example, 1.1 and 1.6. So because this was just after the first year curricula, not all the indicators were assessed because they didn't correspond to some of the second year curricula was not included in here. So we didn't include those indicators. Only 41 out of the total 81 indicators appeared in this year one self-assessment. This one's a little more representative of our year one curricula. So the first one I showed had to do with community health assessment. A lot of that learning occurs in the year two practica. Year one, this has a little more to do with our epidemiological learning, which occurs in year one. And we saw increases across the board in the students' perceived competency in these epidemiological indicators. Just overall, just to give you an idea as to what we found, in terms of competencies, the lowest change in perceived competency we saw was this ability to develop and sustain collaborative relationships. Not surprising, because most of that happens in year two in the practicum. The highest mean change we saw had to do with their epidemiological competency, which does occur in year one. Overall, the lowest mean change among the indicators was the examination of historical context and policies. Again, that happens in year two in their policy and administration class. And there was an epidemiological indicator that had the highest mean change. So, thank you. We wanted to develop an archive of examples of student learning that was based on portfolios. And I want to give a shout out to San Francisco State, I think. Is that you guys? Yeah. You presented at a pre-conference workshop in 2010, right? In Denver? Okay. All about your development of electronic portfolios, right? So we're doing it too. Here's a snapshot of one of our students who, so it's basically examples of products that students develop as part of their coursework that can go into a portfolio that they can show to the people they interview for their practica, the prospective employers that they interview with after graduation, and it also serves as an archive for us. So we don't have to chase them down after graduation to, you know, say, hey, can you send us that paper that you wrote that was really exemplary? We have it. Here's another example of a student who's in the audience now. I won't point her out, but I'll let her. If she wants to disclose, she can. Okay. So key findings. The consensus meetings were really key in helping us align the competencies and indicators with the need of the community health practice field in Chicago. Aligning our indicators with the course objectives that have been developed previously identified gaps in the existing curricula that we needed to address. Our program traits, so our community health concentration, our urban setting, and this cohort model really was key to the development of specific competencies and implementation of them in our program. Student self-assessment of knowledge and skills improved across the competencies that were aligned with first-year curricula. And we think the results of the self-assessment sort of confirmed the strengths of our first-year curricula. Next steps, so we're going to keep readministering these self-assessments at entry, year one, and graduation, and further develop the archives through the portfolios. We're going to reconvene consensus meetings in 2015-2016, which is 5 years after the previous meetings. And that will be an opportunity for us to further refine the indicators and respond to the changing needs in the field. Those references. Thanks for your time.